What if the real key to project success isn't just following the same templates, but knowing which documents actually make a real difference? Are you focused on the right deliverables? You mind if I share a short story with you? I'll never forget the time when I was managing a project where we had a very straightforward scope, nothing too complex. We were working on a simple software upgrade for a client who had a very specific set of requirements as well as a deadline. Everything was laid out from the beginning. Expectations were clear. But then one day, a stakeholder who was new to the project came to me and said, "We need to have a work breakdown structure for the project." You see, I changed my voice there. But anyway, I digress. He was convinced that we couldn't move forward without one. Now, don't get me wrong, a WBS can be a game changer for complex projects. But in this case, the scope was already predefined and the tasks were actually relatively simple. So after considering the project scope, the team's familiarity with the WBS and this overall complexity, I realized that a WBS wasn't necessary here. The project deliverables were already clear and the team knew exactly what needed to be done. It wasn't a one-size-fits-all solution, and creating a WBS would only have added unnecessary overhead. So I explained the reasoning to the stakeholder and we moved forward without it. And this really brings me to my first point. When managing a project, there are certain key deliverables you absolutely need to be aware of to keep things running smoothly. But it's important to remember that not every deliverable is required for a project. Some, like a WBS, depending entirely on the project's scope, complexity, and most of all, your team's level of familiarity with the actual methodology. Point number one, WBS, work breakdown structure. It is a visual hierarchical decomposition of a project scope into a smaller, manageable deliverable or work package. Why is this important? It provides clarity on deliverable ownership, enabling accurate resource allocation and task scheduling. Here's some actionable tips I would love for you to experiment with. Look at leveraging a mirror board, M-I-R-O, or Lucid chart, L-U-C-I-D-C-H-R-T. And this will create a visual appeal and it's interactive WBS diagram. I've used the mirror board before when I built WBSs, and oh man, it's really very interactive with your team. And this clearly identifies work package owners and measurable outcomes, and then regularly validate the WBS against the project scope as well as the timeline. Point number two, business opportunity statement. Now, let me give you some contextual backdrop on this, meaning the backstory. In project management, a business opportunity statement is similar to almost like a business case. A business case is more often more comprehensive and detailed, and is more in depth as far as from an analysis standpoint. And it points out the problem, potential solution, and financial implications. A business opportunity statement can be more concise because it focuses on the core business rationale. Let me give you some more context around that. Regarding the business opportunity statement, this document clearly states the reason behind initiating the project, outlining the business needs, expected outcomes, and the strategic alignment. Why is this important? It clarifies the rationale for stakeholders. Ensuring project alignment with organizational strategy reduces ambiguity. Here's some actionable tips I'd love for you to experiment. Clearly document the business case using measurable objectives. Confirm alignment with senior stakeholders through visual workshops or meetings. And the last and final one, revisit the statement regularly to validate ongoing relevance. Point number three, my favorite, project charter. A project charter formally authorizes the project, outlines the scope, objectives, and highlight a high-level timeline, as well as budget. There's some other pieces. Again, I've seen a one-pager project charter. I've seen a multi-page project charter. So it depends on, again, on the organization and their maturity when it comes to project management. And as you recall, it's not a one-size-fits-all, but I do believe the project charter is one of those documents even as the even if the project manager says, hey, you know, I'm just going to create one just for me, so I have a really high level overview of the expectations of it, because the project charter also can will have some of the high level stakeholders. I've seen it where I even have high level project team members that we, you need to engage with. But let's get back to it. Why is this important? Establish the project's authority, serving as the foundational reference throughout the project lifecycle. Here's some actionable tips I would love for you to experiment with. Keep the charter concise. That's another thing. Okay, I'm going to do my best not to go on that rant, but it wouldn't be no fun if I didn't. This lets you know how passionate. Can you tell I'm passionate about this thing called project management? But seriously, one of the things about a charter, it is a concise document. This is not a document that once we go from the initiate, you know, we're talking about the process group initiating, planning, monitor, initiating, planning, executing, monitoring, controlling, and closing. We know that after we get out that initiating process group and we move into planning, technically, we shouldn't be going back and updating a project charter. We should be in the project management plan phase of things. So it's important to keep that document concise for clarity and accountability. My also recommendation is to secure a digital approval signature from key stakeholders. And let me tell you why this is important. The reason why this is important to an actual project manager and project team is because this way we have everyone has a high level understanding of what the expectation is. And now we're going to boil that expectation down even further because we're going to get deep in details. And the last final thing is communicate the charter widely among team and stakeholders. Point number four, a comprehensive project management plan. See, a project management plan is an integrated document consisting of subsidiary plans, you know, your scope, schedule, cost, quality, risk, etc. I can go on that, but it guides the project execution and control. Why is this important? It serves as the primary roadmap, ensuring all team members clearly understand how to execute, monitor, and control project activities. Experiment with some of these actionable tips. Develop each sub-plan collaboratively with relevant expertise. What do I mean collaboratively? I don't know why that sounds really, it don't sound so smooth, but we'll keep it moving anyway. But being collaborative is really more or less of getting everyone engaged. See, what I've learned over my decade of doing this thing called project management is that the more you get more people collaborating versus, you know, the project manager will go off in a silo or he'll take one person from the team and they go off in a silo and try to build out this huge project management plan. It's not as effective compared to when you get the team to collaborate with you, because now they may be able to, they will be able to point out some blind spots. Also, they'll be able to add some really good value to you as well as to the team. And now we're all holding ourselves accountable for the thing that we said that we planned for. Here's another thing. Integrate real-time collaborative tools. Some of my favorite tools, Monday.com, Asana, Smartsheets. These are some of ClickUp. What else have I used that I really like? Those are probably about it. I mean, of course, your portfolio planning management tools are always good, but regularly update and communicate changes proactively across the team. Point number five, communication management plan. Another one of my, this is golden. Like, if you don't remember anything, when you have a communication management plan, I don't care if it's just at a very high level, it is, it's a game changer. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. It outlines the methods, the frequency, the audience, tools, and it's really used for communicating project information. Why is this important? It ensures effective stakeholder engagement and reduces miscommunication and leading to project disruption. Have you ever noticed where someone would say, well, I wasn't on that particular email, and you like, oh, okay, well, let me go back to my communication management plan and look to see, were you one of those stakeholders that should be there, a project team, so I can add you just in case I'm out of office and someone needs to send out a communication. Another thing I really like doing too is setting up a distribution list. So when I'm leading a project, and if the organization allows it, because some organizations I've been in there, they definitely appreciate it. And some is like, no, you know, because then you'll be creating one for every project. But some organizations, they really like that, because this way you're just sending it to a particular distribution list and everyone is being made aware of it. And I like that more because of the fact that it really engages individuals as well. And then when someone hits reply all, it's not going to everybody. But I digress. Let's go. Experiment with some of these actionable tips. Identify stakeholder communication preference clearly, like emailing, messaging, like message apps, dashboards. Next one, schedule routine communication checkpoints using automated reminders. Implement feedback loops to continually refine communication effectiveness. This is one of the things I was saying, and I misspoke here about the distribution list. So let me clean that up. So distribution list is when you do hit reply all. Yes, everyone will be notified. But one, the point I really want to make, why it's important, is because it keeps everyone on the same page. Like if I send an email to one person and then I should have had someone on there, or I accidentally, it's more times that you accidentally forget, oh, I was supposed to add this person. This is why I love distribution lists. Point number six, risk and issue management logs. Centralized logs that document, track, and manage identified project risks and issues throughout the project lifecycle. Why is this important? Proactively managing risk and issues helps to minimize disruption and enhances timely project completion. I would love for you to experiment with some of these actionable tips. Tip number one, utilize real-time collaborative platforms for logging risk and issues. If you don't have that, don't worry about it. Get you a simple Excel document and log your risk and create a risk register and an issue log. Now, the thing about that is not in real time. And sometimes the collaborative piece is not really there. This is why I like leveraging real-time collaborative platforms, because it keeps everyone updated. Smartsheets is a good resource for that. Asana, there's so many of them out there. Regular schedule risk management reviews to proactively address emerging threats. One of the things I always recommend, especially to my new project managers, is when you are having your weekly updates, make sure risk and issues is at the top. If it's not number one, make sure it's number two, to ensure that you are monitoring the risk to see if there are any emerging threats. Assign clear ownerships for monitoring and resolving each risk/issue. Point number seven, change management plan and log. Document procedures for how project changes will be submitted, evaluated, approved, implemented, and log. Why is this important? Ensuring structure handling of changes, maintaining scope integrity, and stakeholder expectation. Experiment with some of these actionable tips. Digitize the change management process for transparency and ease of tracking. Clearly define decision makers responsible for approving changes. Automate notification for stakeholders affected by approved changes. Now, most of the times in most organizations I worked in, They use a tool called ServiceNow for their change management, and it did all of the digitizing. Meaning, number one, you had to go to a meeting where you had to talk about the change that you were going to actually make and talk about how it was going to either impact the triple constraints, meaning scope, cost, time, and quality. And then you also had to get sign off from a certain group of people, as well as the people that are going to be impacted. So ServiceNow, I believe, and I haven't used another tool as far as when it comes to that, but I really believe it's a really great tool when it comes to change management. Point number eight, procurement and vendor management. Outlines process and criteria for acquiring goods, services required from external vendors for project completion. Why is this important? It ensures efficient procurement processes, high quality vendor management, and cost effectiveness. Experiment with some of these actionable tips. Define clear performance metrics, milestones for vendor deliverables, establish regular vendor review meetings to maintain accountability, implement vendor scorecards, accessible via a collaborative digital portal. Point number nine, cost management plan. It defines the approach for planning, estimating, budgeting, funding, managing, and controlling project costs. Why is this important? It's essential for maintaining financial control, minimizing overruns, and delivering with an approved budget. You always hear me talking about the triple constraints. And the reason why I always bring it up, and I said I would want to remix that and put resources, and we can call it, I don't know, a quad constraint. I don't know. We're just making something up, because I believe resources is one of those pieces as well. But reason why this is important is because you want to make sure that the thing, the project, the output that you're actually leading, the financials are aligned. You don't want to go over budget. You would love to be under budget, but making sure you spent everything that was according to plan is always, people are going to be happy. Let me have you experiment with some of these actionable tips. Regular track and report expenditures in real time through integrated financial software. Now, I've used PeopleSoft, Smartsheets. There's been a couple others I can't recall right now. But conduct a various analysis at regular intervals with clear escalation thresholds. This is one of the key points here of escalation thresholds. And what that basically means is we need to understand if we need to get more money, or if we need to, most of the time is if we need to get more money or get approval for spend. Because normally as a project manager, they'll give you a certain amount where you won't have to get approval. They're trusting in you based on experience, based on how you've handled other projects. So they may just say, okay, we'll cap you off at, you know, we don't want you spending no more overspend of $1 million or $1,000. It depends on what type of project it is and how long you've been in the business for. But it's important because you want to make sure you can get to that escalation point quick and fast, and you can get a decision fast as possible based on everything that you have. And the last and final one, utilize predictive analytics for early identification of cost deviation. Point number 10, project schedule and performance reports. We're talking about reports. Yes, we're talking about reports. Detailed timelines include tasks, milestones, deadlines, course dependencies, and performance measurements against the baseline. Why is this important, family? Well, it's important because it ensures timely project completion and provides transparency on progress, enabling for corrective action. This is why I know we're talking more of a predictive approach with in today's episode versus having an agile mindset. This is why I love agile, because one of the things that they talk about is a informational radar type report. And this is basically a report that is extremely transparent. And the more transparent we can be of where we're at, So information radiator. The reason why this is important, because it really allows us to have the real clear transparency that I wish we had more in of projects. Sometimes we can't share certain things as far as numbers, but this is like, this is what the numbers are. This is where we're at. And it really holds people accountable, holds the project manager or the scrum master responsible, holds the product owner or product manager. And this is what I enjoy. Okay, let me get off of that. Here's some actual tips I love for you to experiment with. Keep schedules update via digital scheduling tools, as we talked about, Smartsheets, Microsoft Project, Jira is another good one. What's another good one? Asana. I'm really falling in love with Asana, as well as Monday.com. These are all digital scheduling tools that can give you an update. Produce automatic weekly performance reports highlighting critical path variants. Now, one of the things we used to do at an organization I worked at is we gave executives access to all of the project information as far as in real time. So we were responsible, I think it was 2 or 3 days out the week, that we had to keep the information updated, because at any moment, the executives could go in. At that time, that tool that was being used, I think it was called ClearView or Clear something, but someone bought them and it integrated. But I really love that tool because it took a combination of Jira as well as your normal, if you were going to build a schedule in Microsoft Project, they gave you options there to build it. And again, dependent on your actual project. Here's my last one. Implement AI-driven schedule analysis tools to optimize task sequence dynamically. Point number 11, project closure and lessons learned documentation. This is the point where it's so hard to say goodbye, because we have completed the project, but now we have to close out these last two. formal documentation marking project completion, capturing final deliverables, performance against baselines, documenting insights for future project. Why is this important? It facilitates formal acceptance. It institutionalizes knowledge gain and sets the stage for future project performance. Now, one of the things that I started doing that I got to do more of is stop waiting until the end of the project. Now I may be taking lessons learned, you know, throughout the project, but I really love how within the Scrum light framework where you're doing retrospectives after each particular sprint. So we have a 2-week sprint at the end of the sprint, we're actually doing retrospectives. Hey, what could we improve? How can we get better type deal? And so that's something I want to implement more in a predictive approach versus, you know, waiting until I have a project that I have to do, you know, that I'm leveraging Scrum or Kanban on. But here's some actionable tips I love for you to experiment with. Hold interactive retrospective sessions digitally to ensure full team participation. Archive project documentation systematically within the knowledge management system, whether that's your SharePoint or even Confluence. And the last and final one, regular reference lessons learned in future project initiating phases. And let me say this, one of the things that as project managers, we have to do better, I'm guilty of it, so I'll just speak for me because I don't want to call anyone else out, is that we forget that we've done these lessons learned and we just move on to the next project instead of going back and looking at the lesson learned to see what can we learn from that to carry over into the next project. That is the whole purpose of it. But you just sometimes get so caught up in this new project and moving forward. But I just make a recommendation to look back at your previous lessons learned register so you can see how you can improve future projects. All right, here's my final advice for today. And I appreciate it if you stayed this long. I much appreciate it. These are some things we want to be on the lookout for. As you know, AI has definitely been on the rise, so AI integration. So you want to leverage AI and predictive analytics for risk forecasting, cost prediction, as well as even schedule optimization, visual communication, utilize dynamic visuals, dashboards, infographics, what's another one? Interactive diagrams to enhance the clarity and engagement. Hybrid and agile adaptability, maintain flexibility by blending a traditional predictive with a agile or hybrid approach to ensure responsiveness. And the last and final one, enhance real-time collaboration, invest in integrated PM tools that support remote, hybrid, and of course, global distributed teams, enable instant updates as well as communication. Family, I truly appreciate it. As you know, success follows clarity, so keep on leading. I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, hey, listen, that just simply means Ed. Until next time.